Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is an interior paint and primer in one with a tough-lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie. And this is our last recap episode of Love is Blind Season 7. And I'm not going to lie, I'm not sad about it. I'm not sad about it.
I'm excited for it to be over. I had a lot of emotions from the reunion.
Yeah, but it left me unsatisfied.
Yeah. Doesn't every reunion leave us unsatisfied, if
I'm being honest? I feel like season 6 was pretty good. I mean, obviously, I don't have very high expectations for these Love is Blind reunions. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always feedback for Nick and Vanessa, like how they could improve as hosts, all these things, and like, you know, about how production doesn't address, you know, certain hot topics. So I'm not surprised that most viewers are saying like this was a lackluster reunion. But it wasn't the worst one.
Nick and Vanessa only have so much control over what is said at reunion. They're wearing a mic and they're getting fed certain things. If couples are like fighting, they're like, end it now, like cut that off or let them talk about it. So it's like they're getting direction from the showrunners. So
I don't think the blame can be put on them. They're just trying to, again, like Deep D said, follow instructions. They have production in their ear. So they're wearing a earpiece, and they're not the ones coming up with the questions. I think beyond just like funny lines or them reacting to something, those questions are from production and they're really just the mouthpiece. Well, before we get into it, because there's a lot we're gonna have to get into, I was talking to Deep D about this like before we press the record button, but I have a new friend that I met through influencer events here in Chicago. And when I first met this friend, I really, really liked her. I was like, oh my gosh, she's so funny. You know, we're similar. I thought she was laid back. Mm-hmm. Like when we were hanging out at the influencer event I initially met her at, she was kind of this like go with the flow type of person, or so I thought. And then I got to know her really well. And I realized like how judgy she is. Like worse than me. I know I come off judgy on this podcast, but typically in like real life, I like really don't care what like other people do beyond like watching reality TV. Yeah. But this friend does, where, for example, she wrote on her Instagram story about how her other friend moved into a new place. Mm-hmm. And so my friend brought over a housewarming gift and she was offended because her friend didn't take her coat and hang it up immediately when my friend walked in the door.
That's
right. And she was like, that is just so rude. Like, that is just bad manners. Like, you should absolutely, like, take your guests' coats and hang them up immediately when they come over. And I was like, that's so stupid to, like, harp on.
No, that's a really weird, like, very specific thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like she's looking for things to hate on.
I know.
Like, that's not correct.
And she's, like, asking on her Instagram story for other people's opinions. And I mean,
were you honest in the opinion?
I didn't say anything because I typically kind of like stay out of it.
Yeah.
But in my head, I was like, if I had moved into a new place and you came over, I'm sorry, but I wouldn't think twice about taking your coat. I'd just be like, throw it somewhere.
No, 100%.
If anything, or hang it up yourself.
I'm there to help you. Or like, yeah.
I mean, yes, I would probably take your coat. But you know what I'm saying? If like,
it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, it wouldn't matter. Exactly. Like, I would never even think twice.
Exactly.
If I even came over to your house and you didn't take my coat, like I would just be like, whatever.
You wouldn't even think about it.
Yeah, I'd probably be like, where do I put my coat?
Yeah. Can I throw it on this chair?
I just take it off and I'll like put it on some random chair.
Literally.
But you know, I think as I get older, I want friends who are easygoing and don't like aren't so high strung about those things.
No, I completely agree. And I think I've been meeting a lot of people through friends of friends, you know, and like you just show up at a house party and then there's, you know, friends there that I have no idea who they are. And I'm like, you can tell so easily who matches your vibe.
Totally.
And who doesn't. And the top of the list of people that I do not want to surround myself with is people who complain about things in life or like just always find an issue with somebody or something around them, you know?
Yeah, I think that was my thing because I was like, I'm so comfortable around obviously you, but my other friends.
Mm-hmm.
So after I saw that Instagram story, I went over to her house like a few weeks later. She mm-hmm. had this like dinner party and I was so tense, like as yeah. if I didn't want to mess up. Like yeah. I was like, okay, I got to bring flowers, but maybe I'll also bring like a bottle of wine and, you know, a card. And, you know, like immediately when I walk in, I'm, yeah. you know, gonna try to be as perfect as possible so she doesn't judge me and her friends don't judge me. When I went home, I was like, what the heck? Like, what kind of friendship is that?
Yeah.
Where I'm like also, so tense.
You shouldn't be scared to be on like a story and like yeah. about an action you did
yeah.
accidentally or yeah. Yeah. No, that's really frustrating. And also like, why would you want a high strung, anxiety ridden friend?
Yeah, you know? Or that type of friendship where you're yeah. like scared to be judged by your friend.
Yeah, no, 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 no. Dude, yeah, we're too old for that.
I know.
I can't believe like in a couple, in January, it's almost the new year, but I'm going to be 34 years old.
Wow.
I've been thinking about that a lot lately and I'm like, holy crap.
Look, I really think that 34 is the new 24.
Thank you. Okay. I think so too. I think it's the new 25 though, you know?
Yeah, but yeah. Maybe maybe like 29.
But you know, my mentality is, oh my gosh, 3 and 4 add up to 7 and I love the number 7.
Oh.
I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
I'm telling you guys, I feel like we already talked about this with our pod besties. Anytime it turns like 11:11, 2:22 p.m., I get a text from Deep D.
Dude. I do this all the time.
She goes, it's 11:11. And I was like, okay, well, and it's going to be 11:12 in a
this
minute.
This is actually kind of crazy of me, but I talk to the universe, and I'm doing that in quotes, but like, I feel like our spirit guides are always with us. And
who's that?
Like just ancestors of ours, like energy. I don't know. It's just all around us.
Well, okay. Can I talk to my ancestors? Because you're leading me in a fucking path.
You
okay?
can literally talk to
it's too zigzaggedy.
That's life.
Grandma, can you try to make it smoother? I'm tired.
I do this all the time though. And I ask my spirit guides or like whoever's watching over me to be mm-hmm. like, give me signs that I am doing the right thing when it comes to this decision. And I'll be like, I want to see like ladybugs everywhere, or I want to see something like something. And I swear to you, there was a ladybug on my car the other day.
Wait, really?
I'm serious.
I've never seen a ladybug in Chicago.
Oh, that's funny because there's a ladybug infestation right now. Did you see this?
You know, I also don't really go outside. So
you were just outside this morning.
Oh, yeah. So actually this morning I watched the reunion and I had to take a walk and I called Deep D and I was like, I'm so frustrated at what I saw that I just need to cool off.
I'm so dead. That's yeah. This reunion was very frustrating. Well, we should get into it. But before we do, I just wanted to say happy Diwali to all of our pod besties and you. Even though if you guys don't celebrate it, obviously, but Diwali is like my favorite holiday because it is basically the triumph of like light over darkness, love over evil, and like knowledge over ignorance, which is a lot of what we'll get into in this reunion.
Too bad like the opposite happened during this reunion.
No, literally.
Like evil triumphed light.
The other day, this is so funny, I had my mom tell me, and she tells me the story all the time about why we celebrate Diwali, but I was like, mom, give me like the gossip session style of why. And she told me this entire drama of like why we celebrate it. And
like the backstory in history?
Yeah, like the backstory in history of why Diwali is what it is. And
can you share it? Because I actually don't know.
It's like, it's a long ass story.
Okay.
I was going to spare you the details, but it's a pretty long story.
Give me like the 2-minute version.
Okay, okay. Here's a fun summary. So basically,
we'll put timestamps so you guys can skip this.
How dare you? No, listen, it's a fun story. No, okay. So basically, back in the day, there was a king. And back in that time, there was polygamy still. So he had 3 wives. So from the 3 wives, he had 4 sons. And all of them are actually like super loving. There's no animosity, no jealousy. Amongst the sons and the wives, which is lovely. But what happens is one of the maids that is working for the youngest wife is like putting things in her ear, kind of planting seeds, saying, your son isn't going to get anything. Like, the firstborn is the one who's going to inherit everything. He's going to become king, and your son will be forgotten. And so the wife.
That's every youngest kid. What do you mean?
No, the youngest kid is the most loved. You don't have a
but
middle.
But you're the middle child.
Yeah, so the middle child is way forgotten.
Actually, that's so true. You don't exist. No, you're like the black sheep.
No, 100%. I'm like the most forgotten person in the entire world. Which is why this story is so heartwarming. No, I'm just kidding. So, okay. Now this wife is like, okay, now I need to talk to the king and figure out how to put my son first. And so she goes and talks to the king and is like, hey, I'm having issues with the way the hierarchy is. And the king is so nice to her. And he's like, I'll grant you any wish whenever you want. And she goes, I will when the time is right. Mm. So then years pass by. This drama is so good. The original drama of India. So then what happens is the time comes of the king ceremony, like crowning the next king. And so then the wife comes and is like, my wish, like I have my wish now. And she tells him, I want to ban the first son, Rama. I want to ban him from the kingdom for 14 years. And the king is like, okay. He grants her the wish. Yeah. So that he can't get crowned king. And so the king is like, I just have to figure out a way to tell him.
And tell Rama.
To tell Rama. He goes to his son and he's like, you're going to be banished, exiled. And he's like, okay, I accept. Everyone in this family is so loving. That's why it's so pure. It's like love over evil, light over darkness. It demonstrates
except
that.
For the youngest wife.
So there's like a lot of layers to the story where at every point in the story, he could have gotten angry or upset, but it just shows that, you know, love leads the way. Anyways, so he leaves, but the second brother is like, I'm coming with you. Like, there's no way you're going into this forest by yourself. And also Rama's wife goes with him as well. Sita is her name. They go off. So there's a lot that happens in this kingdom in the 14 years. But what's really amazing is back at home, even though the youngest wife wanted her youngest son to be the king, he refuses. He's like, I would never do that to my brother. He takes a pair of his shoes and puts it on the throne and is like, this is a placement for my brother when he comes back from exile to take the crown again. Isn't that the sweetest thing ever? So there's just like so much love going on. So basically.
Sounds a little toxic. I'm just kidding.
It is. And it's like a huge book. It's like a series of books. But anyway, and I'm probably murdering the story a little bit. But in this forest, and we're wrapping up here, in this forest, Sita gets kidnapped by this demon. And essentially, Rama goes and rescues her, destroys the demon, and their homecoming back to the kingdom after 14 years and this whole like rescue mission mm-hmm. is Diwali.
I love that.
Yeah, because he's coming back. So they light up the entire city with lights and it's like a celebration of his return.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah. That was probably more like 5 minutes, but.
No, that was a really good story of selflessness, but that youngest wife.
But it also shows you the power of persuasion because it wasn't ever in her own mind. Yeah. But it's like a touch of evil can really turn you into something that you're not, just like those friends of yours. I don't know where that came from.
I was like,
you're like, damn.
I was like, well.
I meant just that one.
So it was judgy friends of mine.
But honestly, it is like really important who you surround yourself with because you start to take on some people's mannerisms.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I need to. It's just a reflective moment. Yeah. Anyways, so many lessons in this story.
So many lessons in this conversation. I love that story about how like kindness should prevail in, you know, in unusual or bad circumstances too.
Yeah.
Like always act kindly, which,
you know, that's a hard lesson.
Anna does not do that.
Oh, let's get into it.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I am so excited that this season's over.
I don't even know where to start, but, you know, we have LIB alumni showing up.
Which interesting group of people put together.
Well, what I heard from one of them, the LIB alumni group that was at the reunion, is they tried to focus on people who were already based in LA where the reunion was filmed. And I think it was for budget reasons.
Like so this season, yeah.
For this season. I think it was different last season, but also it was a huge season with only one married couple. So I think they brought a lot of the married couples back.
Listen, I get it. It's end of year. You know, you've, you've used all the funds for the year. Yeah.
Nobody told me this, but this is my theory. This was not a very big watched season compared to the other seasons, even though I don't think it was the worst season. I think that place is saved for either season five or us.
Agreed.
But it wasn't a very popular season when it comes to how many people watch this season. So I don't know if that had to do with like the budget too, where they're like, the season isn't that popular. So we're going to not spend a lot of money on, you know, flying people like LIB alumni for the reunion.
Yeah, it was a group of the most random.
Yeah. But Bliss and Zach were already in town.
Yeah.
I think Nancy might have been as well. And then Marshall, AD, Jessica are based in LA.
Yeah.
So I didn't know Jessica was. Yeah. Yeah. She's based somewhere in California.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was really good seeing them. I was actually shocked that there were so many comments that people didn't recognize Jessica from season one. Like they were like completely forgot who she was.
I also hear people when they say stop bringing back old cast from different seasons of Love is Blind from previous seasons because they wasted so much time that they could have talked to the actual cast. AD got so much screen time, regardless of if she's on Perfect Match or not, like, I don't know if that was necessary.
Yeah, I think it was very obvious. I mean, we can confirm she is on Perfect Match season three. I thought it was weird that they asked her relationship status. And, know, at this point, everyone knows or have seen that she is dating Ollie from Love is Blind UK. And people are alleging that they met on Perfect Match season three, which I think is the case. She's also posting that she's in London. So it makes sense, right? Like they're dating. But I don't know. It just kind of made it like weird and obvious.
Yeah, it was a weird,
but also, I liked seeing them. I actually feel the opposite. I know people are like, oh, it's weird that they bring like former cast back. I personally like seeing former cast members being brought back because it's kind of funny when you see their reactions. And like where they're able to ask a question or share like what they're thinking, but they didn't really do that for this reunion. It kind of felt really random that they were there. Like the questions that they were asking these former cast members, the like the montage or compilations that they would play for these former cast members. It just felt like a weird break or pause within the reunion itself. So I don't know.
It was like really weird transitions. It's kind of like transitions you and I do sometimes on this podcast.
Yeah, we're like, well,
speaking of evil.
I know. It was like a PowerPoint.
I was dying at those transitions, but I love obviously seeing Marshall's reactions to everything. I think his facial expressions sent me. But I have to say, poor Taylor's parents, because the fact that they put them through this entire reunion, I feel so bad for them because I'm like, I guarantee you they do not give a F about the tea that is happening. They're just like, Jesus.
And you know, they barely show Taylor and Garrett too, minus Taylor's like nasty looks that were happening. She wanted to say so much, but she's like, I'm just gonna just be quiet.
Her body language was like this to Garrett. So it was like, oh, I want to say something, but I can't.
I do also feel bad for her parents. If you guys don't know, this reunion was actually 6 hours long and they edited it down to an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. So there's so much that happened and it was such a long filming session. Like, we only filmed our reunion for probably 4 hours, but I can't imagine 6 hours.
No, I know. That the reason why Taylor's mom cried at the end was because she's like, I'm so happy this is over.
I'm like, I just want to go home.
She's like, I could care less about this drama.
And she was, my daughter didn't say a peep during this reunion.
Just like Marissa talking about fucking Ramses, like, I'm out.
And saying that, you're right.
She's like, oh, what happened? Because you know Asian
parents. You know, yeah, you know Fong. Was like,
she's like, this is awkward.
This is not how I thought it would go. Well, let's get into Taylor and Garrett. I would love to know what you thought of Garrett's new look because a lot of people are talking about it on the internet.
I think Garrett's style and his newfound love for fashion was not on the bingo card. Like, let's face it, it's because of Taylor, even if he doesn't want to say that. But I personally didn't love the pattern of his outfit. It just wasn't my style. But then I saw a TikTok, Natalie, and he was talking about like fit check. I think he literally just posted it yesterday or today. And Garrett, he said the fabric, yes, Garrett, he said the fabric was like old Indian fabric. And I was like, newly, I'm a fan. I was like, yep, I'm a fan. I'm a fan.
But she's like, I didn't like it. Oh, Indian fabric?
100%.
I love it. I approve.
But anyways, I didn't like the pattern of it.
Yeah, I feel like the suit jacket was a little bit too big. I don't know what look I prefer, like old Garrett, but I'm not a fan of like the buzz cut look, you know? Same. And people are just saying he looks like a Disney prince.
He kind of does look like a Disney prince.
I was like, yes, which I'm a fan of, but also yes. You
know? Also, I do have to say, I mean, obviously fashion is an expression of self, self-expression. So, I mean,
look at us. We're like, oh, I didn't like the suit jacket. And meanwhile,
listen, I had to be comfortable today, as always.
Same.
I think I wear this like every other week. So
I know. I was like, I definitely wear these pants like 5 times a week.
You know what's funny? I think back to our reunion. Did you get your hair and makeup done for reunion? Or get a stylist?
I think I got my hair blown out at like Dry Bar.
Okay.
And then I did my own makeup.
Yeah.
And I think most of us did.
I think about
that. And
then
it changed. I think that they're starting to give budgets to the cast to get their hair and makeup done, but they didn't for us. Like, yeah. I had to pay everything out of pocket.
I was thinking about that because I honestly think the cast slayed with the looks and they looked amazing. And I think back to ours and I went back and looked at a picture and I was like, oh yeah, I definitely did my own hair and makeup for that.
Yeah. And I just feel like the outfits are getting more fashionable. Like, I'm not going to lie, I loved Taylor's outfit. It's not something I would personally wear. And I know people are saying, like, I didn't like the top, but it's very, like, fashion forward. So, I don't know. Everyone did, everyone's makeup was amazing. And then I did think about our reunion, too. And I was like, we were just, like, in a very different ballgame where, you know, we just – we weren't thinking like that.
Yeah, the show wasn't that, I mean, it was big, but it wasn't like as big as it is now. And like, I think people don't see that everything ends up online like it is now, you know, also. But yeah, I think about that and I'm like, holy crap. Like, I didn't even barely did my nails.
I think it really started so with season 3. You know how the Love is Blind Netflix Instagram page now posts pictures of people's outfits?
Yes.
Before the reunion, they never did that for us.
I was thinking about that.
It was just, it's a different ballgame now. And I kind of like it. Like, I like being able to now, like, see what people are wearing, how they've had these glow ups. It's kind of fun to watch.
And also, you know what's interesting? Obviously, we didn't have, like, the live audience.
Yeah.
Which is, I would love, I'm sure every single member of the live audience had to write, like, sign an NDA because I would love to know what happened in the 6 hours that wasn't shown.
I know. But let's go back to Taylor and Garrett because, again, not much was said about them. They were very, very quiet. My thoughts are that they reached out to former IT couples from the previous seasons and then they were given the advice, like, stay out of all the drama happening. And I think Garrett wanted to, but he felt the need to, like, stick up for Nick at times or, like, say something. But Taylor definitely listened to that advice. She was not involved. You knew she knew more because she was so tense during certain conversations when the camera panned to her. Mm-hmm. I think it really started with Alex and Brennan. They started giving the advice of, like, stay quiet, stay out of it because of the backlash they received from their reunion, getting involved in the Cole stuff. And yeah. I think that advice has been passed down.
Yeah.
From a couple to a couple.
You know, it's also with this couple, it was interesting because obviously even without them saying much, you could tell whose side they were kind yeah. of on. Maybe not Taylor, but obviously
Garrett
is very much supporting Nick and Tyler. So you could kind of tell, even though he like said the least out of everyone. But yeah, Taylor's body language was just so, so anxiously tense. But I'm really happy that they stayed out of it because it just, why add your two cents yeah. when you have Marissa and the rest of them, like, you know.
I agree. I feel like Alexa and Brennan's edit changed during the season 3 reunion, right? When they went after Cole. And they got so much backlash for it. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like after that, people are like, let's stay out of it because we don't want the risk of changing our edit. Like, look at Marissa. Marissa is getting so much backlash for defending Hannah. And I'm not going to lie. Like, I really liked Marissa in the latter half of the season. And then for me, the reunion kind of changed, like, her character arc. Like, I did not like yeah. her as much.
But Marissa, oh my God. You know I was a fan of Marissa the entire season. I loved her energy. Shout out to Nick Lachey for saying that to Marissa, by the way.
That was very sweet.
It was very sweet. But the way she was defending Hannah, I was like, honey, why are you doing this? Like, I think she just really was so angry with her own situation that she had to take it out on someone else. But like,
I don't know. I think it was Marissa trying to practice being an attorney.
Ah, wait, can I? Okay, so Marissa actually posted something this morning.
Okay.
And I wanted to read it to you. She says, I show up every day as my authentic self. I make mistakes, say the wrong thing, and sometimes stand by those who may not deserve it because authenticity matters more to me than curating an image. At the reunion, I came without resentment towards Ramses or anyone else. For those who expected me to go off, know that I will always handle things my way. We've had many conversations since our breakup, and I wish him well. Okay. And then she goes into Hannah and Nick. So she says, as for Hannah and Nick, I've never justified her treatment of him. Watching the season, I was as surprised as anyone. On stage, I addressed a specific comment Nick made about her, a fact I know firsthand. Nick's dishonesty doesn't excuse Hannah's verbal abuse. Those are two separate issues. She's so right about that.
I agree.
Anyways, and then she just goes on to say, when her behavior was raised, I told her she was wrong, something I've done privately in interviews and on stage. I don't control the final edit and won't be blamed for others' silence. She said, I'm no bully. I simply said what others wouldn't say when the camera started rolling.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
The thing is, I get what Marissa is saying, but she went so hard on Nick and didn't have that same energy for Hannah.
Yeah.
And she didn't seem like she was treating it as two separate issues during the reunion, because I actually watched the whole Nick, Hannah, Marissa, Katie, Monica situation twice.
Vanessa.
And what Marissa keeps saying is like, Hannah was a bitch or Hannah was mean, but Nick, you did this. It should be then Hannah was mean and Nick did this. But she's, the way she's talking about it is like she's trying to justify Hannah's behavior if you actually watch the scene.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, that's why you're getting backlash, Marissa.
Okay, I kind of understand what Marissa was saying and I kind of see both sides because she was like, Hannah, you were insecure, so you were being a bitch to Nick, and Nick, you were being fake. And I totally get that. But even if Nick... 10 days before, whatever, 2 weeks before, wrote in his notes, like, I want to be the most famous person on Love is Blind.
Or, you did it, Nick.
Yeah.
You are.
Or called Hannah a grenade and said she was underwhelming. It still does not justify the way Hannah treated Nick on camera. At least Nick had the decency to do it in private.
I know. At least Nick was smart enough to do it behind the scenes and act attracted to Hannah during the show. If anything, Nick played the game well.
Exactly.
Hannah didn't. Hannah, like, honestly, it was really funny when Hannah was like, I was direct on screen. Like, I was honest. At least I was honest on screen. And you did this behind my back. And I was like, yeah, Hannah, because Nick is smart and knows how to get a better edit than you.
Yeah. Wasn't Hannah also the one who on screen was like, didn't like what Nick looked like and said she was underwhelmed? So why is she being so hypocritical?
I will say calling her a grenade is crazy. And I actually do believe that he did call her a grenade. Mm. The fact that nobody could really come to his defense. Like everyone was very quiet.
He was deflecting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was definitely lying about what he probably said about her behind the scenes. So I thought grenade meant when you fart in your hand and throw it in someone's face.
Of course you did. Of course you thought that.
So when,
but like, how could you not think of Pauly D and Jersey Shore?
I never watched Jersey Shore. I think I watched like a few episodes growing up, but I never watched like a full season of,
okay,
of
that
show.
Okay, that is the OG reality TV.
I know.
There was nothing you couldn't do on Jersey Shore. It's insane. I was Snooki for Halloween. And I was literally perfectly Snooki.
Was it better than my Marge Simpson costume?
Absolutely not. Marge Simpson beats everything out of the park.
Side note, I posted a TikTok and IG reel of me dressed as Marge Simpson. And it was the pod besties who were like, are you okay? Like, what is happening?
Oh, I love the pod besties who were like, I had to pause the episode and go run and see if you posted it.
And they're like, we thought it was just going to be like a regular Marge Simpson costume. And they're like, why did you go so far with it? And I was like, I don't know.
Because it's you.
I was like, I really don't know.
You love a cosplay.
I do love a good cosplay. But anyways, going back to grenade. You guys don't know what grenade means. So
you looked it up.
Yes. I went to Urban Dictionary and it did cite Jersey Shore. So that's where the term got popular or like where it came from. Mm-hmm. But a grenade is an ugly girl always found in a group of hotties. And the ugly girl has to be like hit on or like jumped on, as Urban Dictionary says, for this. Because if she doesn't get hit on, like the group of her hot friends won't get hit on. I don't even understand that. But it's essentially like a guy saying like, okay, like, jump on that grenade.
Yeah.
You got to take one for the team.
Yeah, it's like, exactly. It's, and also if you just think about it like in layman's terms too, it's just basically like she's the unattractive one.
Which is really, really mean to say.
It is. Especially because he's not even Italian or from Jersey Shore. He's Cuban from DC.
How do you know he's Cuban?
Because his mom is Cuban.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
That's why he lives at home.
There's so much that happened in their storyline that I forgot that detail, okay, about his ethnicity.
It's okay. It was kind of hidden.
DP remembers it all, let me tell you.
No.
When I read that, I was like, that is so, so mean to say about someone behind their back, regardless of like what Hannah said to him. It's the fact that he said that. Here's the thing. I don't think that there's anything wrong not being attracted to your partner after reveal happens. Mm-hmm. I know Shane wasn't attracted to me. I wasn't attracted to Shane, but we still lied on camera afterwards, after our reveal, that like we liked how each other looked. Like I called Shane like hot or good looking, and Shane's like, she has the best smile in the world. But the reason why we acted like that is because we're like, they're not bad looking, and we might change our mind when we see them again in Mexico in 2 days.
Yeah, and not to mention the cameras do play a role. Like, yeah. People know how to act and know how to get a good edit. That is, as the seasons go on, that's going to happen. And what kind of is like annoying about the situation, and they're trying to make Nick look so bad and like try to comfort him, even when Steven was like, yeah, the grenade thing did happen, he was talking right after the reveal. It wasn't like it was after they were living together or, you know, being intimate. So feelings change. Like you said, like your feelings changed about Shane and vice versa. It's the same. Like, feelings can change over time. Your level of attractiveness to your partner can increase.
Yeah.
As feelings grow, you know?
But regardless of Nick calling her a grenade or rating her 5 out of 10, which mm-hmm. is horrible, like really horrible, I think that if Hannah was a better person, everyone would be like on Nick right now.
I agree.
But what I hated about the situation and why it didn't really change anything for me in terms of how I view Hannah is because you could tell she was like loving this moment that Nick was getting called out, because she thought it was taking away from the backlash and accountability that she should be taking. I feel like the way she was smirking during this conversation, I feel like she was feeling like, I'm justified in the way yes. I treated Nick. And that's what pissed me off, because I was like, you could tell she keeps saying like, I know I'm a bitch, I know I'm direct. She's very aware, but she has no reason to change because she feels like she's justified.
I completely agree. She felt so vindicated because she was holding on to her own grenade of the whole famous thing. And she's like, I can't wait to use that at reunion.
I know.
First of all, it makes her look so bad that she revealed the whole famous goal thing, because it means that she invaded his privacy by going through exactly. his journal or diary or whatever. And I'm like, Hannah,
no self-awareness on her end.
That doesn't make you look good. And also, you know how I'm a huge proponent of this. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. No, it's also about what she says all the time. Like, Hannah is literally...
It's so frustrating to watch her. She has no self-awareness. I actually think that she has really high narcissistic tendencies.
Yeah.
Because even when Vanessa Lachey asked her, like, do you feel any remorse? She goes, I know I'm direct. Like, she doesn't apologize.
No. And the things I say were all true, but, you know, it should have been said differently.
And like, I'm like, why are you using the word direct? Like, being direct and being mean are two very different things. Being direct and deliberately trying to make someone feel horrible and putting them down are two very different things. And I don't think she gets it.
Yeah.
And that's so sad that regardless of how much backlash she gets and how many people tell her like she was wrong, she will never get it. And this was an eye-opening moment for me, because I felt like Hannah was trying to spin it like she acted this way because Nick made her feel insecure, or like mm-hmm. she knew what Nick was saying behind her back. So she was kind of like projecting mm-hmm. her insecurities onto him. But then Marissa says, Hannah's been mean to me too. And Ashley even says on the side, like, I've called her out on it too. And I was is just her. She's exactly. just a mean person.
I clocked that as soon as I heard it. And I was like, why would you want somebody who's not a nice person in your life? And it comes back to what we were talking about earlier in this episode. Like, you do not want to surround yourself with people who honestly make you look bad and don't come to your defense and are just mean to other people around you. Like, it changes who you are as a person. And I lost my mind when Hannah was trying to imply that she was acting this way on screen because of her own insecurities. And I agree, it's a projection of her insecurities. But if you knew behind the scenes that he called you grenade or was underwhelmed with how you looked, why not just call him out on screen instead of being so mean to him?
Yeah.
It just doesn't add up. And it makes me feel like she found out that news like later or...
Yeah, probably after filming.
And she's just using it as an excuse now.
Yeah, exactly.
And can we please talk about why she brought up the DMs that he's been sending to other women? Last time I checked, he's single. Why can't he do that?
Yeah. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, who cares what he does? Like, it's very weird. Even when she says to Nick, like, why have you been liking mean comments about me on your Instagram? It's like, ooh, why are you even checking that, Hannah? Like, go figure out how you're going to change and be a better person. She just has no self-awareness. Mm-hmm. And it really sucks that she came out of that reunion like, yes, I'm direct, I'm a bitch, whatever. But like, Nick deserved that. No. Like, I really think that's what she was thinking during the reunion and also thinks now. Like, she is not sorry for the person she is. And I was like, wow, you have major self-reflection to do. And I don't know. I just feel like someone's got to tell her. Like someone.
And
I think people in her life want to tell her, but she's so proud and kind of like has scary. Such a big ego and is so scary, scary that she'll never take the feedback.
No, and that's another thing is you would think that at this reunion, she would have been held accountable for all of the things that were said. Like the fact that she said, I changed you into a man, from a boy to a man, whatever she said. There's just so many things that could have been addressed at this reunion. I know. Maybe they were and it was cut out.
Yeah.
But regardless, we didn't see it. So in my opinion, it wasn't said.
Yeah.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
What I noticed is Hannah has trouble saying sorry, because when Katie asked Hannah, like, is there weight to your words when you said you don't trust me? I feel like when a friend says that to you, you say sorry. You're like, mm-hmm. I'm so sorry
yeah.
that I said that about you mm-hmm. on an international TV show that's very popular.
Yeah.
That I also exaggerated / lied that you were calling my fiance hot. Like mm-hmm. that obviously didn't happen. But instead, like, you know, Hannah's acting weird. She goes, like, of course you do. Like, I don't know why the freak guy said that. It's like, just apologize, Hannah. But that's when I realized, like, wow, Hannah is very immature. And again, I think it comes down to kind of like potential narcissistic tendencies because of her inability to apologize.
Yeah. I mean, she screams that she has self-awareness and she says that, but I don't think that she has that, because she's just unable to like have a regard for other people's feelings in a sense. And I absolutely died when Vanessa, who is Marissa's mom, is like, why did she treat you like shit the whole year?
Oh yes.
I died. First of all, I love Marissa's mom. Who knew I would be saying that?
Yeah, but same.
She is so real for that, because she sees through Hannah's bullshit. It was interesting to me that she said that though, because like, based on this reunion and their interaction, like Marissa and Hannah are so close and they're besties, especially with Katie as well. I guess they're like the three amigas. But that's what confused me. I was like, ooh, Marissa's mom knows what's up, because she yeah. was able to see through Ramses and now she's able to see through Hannah.
At first, I didn't pick up what Marissa's mom, Vanessa, whispered to Katie. Yeah. But yeah, that's what the internet is saying, is like she said something like, she made you feel like shit for an entire year. And that is horrible. Mm-hmm. That is horrible of Hannah, the fact that she made Katie feel so guilty. And here's the truth now. And yet Hannah still can't apologize. Maybe she apologized like privately to Katie, like, I'm sorry. Yeah. But like, she wasn't able to apologize on a public platform.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've lost a lot of respect for Hannah. She is like, to me, the first character I've seen on the show that I could really say is a true, true mean girl with no remorse and no self-awareness. At least Irina and even Micah from season 4, you know, a lot of people call them mean girls of the Love is Blind franchise. Like, they were able to apologize.
Yeah. They could reflect back on their behavior and say, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. But Hannah can't do that. Like Hannah, I feel like it takes a lot for Hannah to say, I'm sorry. And now I'm just making assumptions, but I feel like you can really tell the person Hannah is just by the way she acted during this reunion and all throughout this season.
Yeah, she doubled down.
Yeah. But
as AD would say.
I actually don't think Marissa and Katie are that close to Hannah anymore, because obviously the cast was posting on social media as they're watching this reunion episode from their own homes. Mm-hmm. And Katie and Marissa watched it together, but Hannah didn't watch it with them. And they're all based in the same city.
She was with Leo and Brittany.
Yeah.
So yeah. Leo got his pasta and steak.
That was a crazy analogy. I was like, I get it, but I don't.
No.
I still want to stick to Vanessa, Marissa's mom. So can we get into Marissa Ramses?
Yes, please. Oh, my goodness. There's not much to say, and I'm going to have a hot take, and you're going to have to tell me what you think.
Okay.
But right now, the internet hates Marissa so much that they're like, Ramses, I understand why you left her. And I think that is not—
I've seen those comments.
I don't like that take, but I do have to say, I do think, like, what else could Ramses have done? Like, he only got a few weeks to kind of get to know Marissa, and he's allowed to change his mind, and at least he didn't take it to the altar and hurt her at the altar, or carry the relationship on and date and figure out later and hurt her later. You know what I mean? So, I mean, like, do I like Ramses? No. But do I appreciate him for doing what he did and breaking up with Marissa? Yes. And that's why I feel like Marissa didn't have much to say to Ramses.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was thinking, especially after Marissa's mom says she's very thankful that Ramses called it off and did the right thing and even thanked him for doing so, because she's all like, Marissa would have carried that relationship, because she's right. If Ramses didn't call it off, like, Marissa would have carried that relationship.
Yeah.
100%. And so I think it all worked out for the best. I did like Ramses better after this reunion, because I feel like he explained like what derailed their relationship better, where he goes like, her energy just overwhelmed me. And I think now, like, I get it, the way he explained it, of like, he just felt like there was like an imbalance in personalities. And I get that as an introvert, right? Like, you guys even saw Shane and I on our season, where I'm like, you know, your energy kind of takes away from me. Like, I don't get energy from other people. It actually drains me. So I was like, I get how that feels. I think, though, regardless of his edit on this reunion, like, I think back to the conversations that they had and how he does have a way of speaking to her that makes her just feel bad about herself.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of like reminded of that still, of like why I didn't take to Ramses during this season.
And it's just crazy. And you and I know this best, is like, there's so much footage missing.
Yeah.
And there's so much more to a relationship than what we see on screen, that like, it's hard for me to kind of judge on it. But you're right. Like, I like him a lot more now that he was able to kind of speak his mind. If you're around the right people, they will feed your soul.
Yeah. You know?
And if you're around the wrong people, they will literally be energy vampires. And I've been around that a lot in my life. And you can tell the difference. So I don't know. I feel like he's entitled to feel how he does. And that's why Marissa really couldn't go in on him so much. So she had to go in on Nick.
Yeah, she's like, let me
she's like,
save this energy for the person that I really want to go after today. And it was, Nick was the target for sure. But I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, nothing really to say. Ramses was a little mouse during this reunion. He was very quiet, said what he needed to say. I feel like a lot was edited out. Again, this reunion was 6 hours long and only an hour and a half in the actual episode. So they might have addressed more and then, you know, just cut it out.
I'm proud of Ramses for speaking up after a little few nudges from Marissa, but where he was like, Nick, just take accountability for what you said. And then Nick is like, well, I did say I was underwhelmed. And I was like, Nick, why? But they still can't make me hate you.
Yeah, I know. It's like, it's like one of those things where it's like, which one is the lesser of the two evils? And it's like, Nick.
They both are need some work, but.
Because honestly, I think the only issue, I know we're going back to Hannah and Nick, but I think the only issue is that, yeah, like, Nick might have been faking it and, you know, did things for a reality TV show and maybe getting a good edit, but he didn't embarrass Hannah on the show.
Yeah.
Like, between their two actions, I'm like, Hannah did way, way worse because she really tried to embarrass Nick. And like, he could have said a lot and he didn't. Regardless of what he was saying behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Which were horrible, by the way. Like, I'm just putting it out there. But like, between the two of them, and they're two separate instances, and one doesn't justify the other. But like,
exactly.
Hannah did so, so much worse. And also, like, Hannah, you quit your job to do a reality TV show. So yeah, it is kind of weird that he wrote in a journal that he wants to be the most famous person on Love is Blind. That is freaking weird to write.
I mean, he's manifesting. I love to see it.
But still really weird to write that before you go into filming. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's like weird.
Yeah.
But still, like, the fact she quit her job because she knew that not only is there a chance she might find love, but she knew she could also become famous too. And look, it did happen, just not in the way she thought.
Yeah, and
happen.
Only one of the two is signed to an agency. So
let's get into Monica and Steven. I
his monologue.
You know what? I don't know how to feel about Steven. It's not positive feelings, but he's such an interesting person to me. I just don't understand him.
Yeah, I was dying at the picture of the sleep study because, up, you proved me wrong.
I know. I was like, oh, he actually was at a sleep study.
Can we see the timestamp of the picture, though? Because that could have been taken any night.
Yeah.
But they confirmed it was that night. And I was like, then why was he drunk? Why is he drunk texting? You know?
Probably his doctor from the sleep study is watching the show and been like, this guy was drunk. Like, doesn't he know that's not how sleep studies go?
Sleep apnea invalid.
I know.
But I don't know, man. I was waiting for Monica just to fry him because I feel like this man just has a lot to say.
This man.
I don't know. Like, he just... Everything he says, like, I don't believe, and I want to believe him, you know? Like, yeah, I just think that everything he says is, like, not real. Even down to the story about the Instagram person that he knew for years that just randomly messaged him out of nowhere and then he never messaged her after that. I think that's bullshit.
He wants everyone to feel bad for him, even though he was the one who messed up. Like, where he's complaining how nobody wants to believe me. Like, nobody wants to hear my side of the story. It's because, like, we already know what happened. Like, you emotionally cheated on Monica. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. What we do want to know, what we want to hear about is what those text messages said.
Retweet.
And if you're not going to share that because you don't remember, like, I mean, what else do we need to know? Like, what's your side of the story?
I know. I really want to know what the kinks are. And that's depressing for me because I'm like, why? Why do you want to know?
I know. Like, why do I want to know?
I really want to know.
See, I don't want to know. Like, I don't think about it. But when it's brought up, I'm like, I want to know what it said. Yeah. And she's like, it was paragraphs. And I was like, oh,
but
paragraphs of what?
They never had a conversation after that ever again.
I think because, like, I don't have any kinks or fetishes that I'm just like, what are we talking about here? Like, a toe fetish? Or, like, are we going a little
bit
further? There's
no way Monica was up in arms about things and it was a toe fetish.
But I thought it was really funny when Steven brings up the fact that he wrote an apology letter to Monica's parents. And Monica's like, oh, Steven! Like, I knew when you wrote that letter and gave it to my parents, like, you were going to bring it up at the reunion.
That was a really good impression of Monica because that's exactly what she sounded like.
She's just, like, so over it. Like, she does not believe Steven.
No, she was like, as soon as I got the letter, I knew you were going to bring it up today.
I was dying. She's like, Steven.
I'm glad that they went to dinner and hashed things out because, honestly, may that type of love never find me or Monica.
I love when she clarified, like, it was a dinner, when he says, like, we went on a date 2 weeks after. And she's like, no, no. That's why it's, like, hard to believe Steven, because it just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, he's very colorful in the way he speaks.
Yeah, you know? And obviously he misspeaks, like Hannah, too. Like, we've seen Hannah misspeak, and obviously he does as well. So it's hard to really believe him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know when there's too many details in a story, you know someone's making it up?
Yeah.
Like, half the time, that's how I felt about Steven in this situation. He was, like, over explaining things.
Yeah.
And I was like, it just doesn't add up. So
you could tell there was, like, very harsh cuts. And so I feel like it was a longer segment from what I heard. I would have loved to hear more, but I also feel like there wasn't a lot to really talk about. Like, we've heard what already happened type of thing.
Yeah, if we don't find out what's in the text, then let's just put this to rest. Let's wrap it up, like Vanessa
said. I love how Nancy asked. She's like, what was in the text messages? And her cute little voice.
I literally was looking at Nancy's ears and I was like, do you have a headpiece in? Did they tell you to ask that question? Because Nancy's so sweet and innocent.
No, I know.
For her to ask that question.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, let's get into Alex and Tim next because I was exhausted from this conversation.
Me too.
For once in my life, I was happy when Vanessa was like, let's take this, you know, let's sidebar this conversation.
I know.
I was so happy.
When the season finished airing, I was more on Alex's side, though, to be honest, I don't care about the situation enough to be on anyone's side. But, like, I was leaning more towards, like, Tim did something wrong, like, during their breakup versus Alex. Mm-hmm. But, like, she had her faults too, right? And then I feel like after she clarifies some things during this reunion, like the hand over his mouth situation in Mexico, I feel like I was, like, really on her side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. I agree with you. I feel like Tim was kind of talking in circles when it came to, like, understanding his feelings and what happened with their breakup and their entire engagement, whereas Alex was able to actually give specific facts about things that happened and how they made her feel and what like happened because of the situations that arise. You know, like she was able to kind of articulate it better. And that's why I'm like, okay, I kind of exactly understand where Alex is coming from. The whole nap situation, because she had to go bartend right after, that made complete sense to me. And like, yeah, just like the feelings that transpired because of the actions like made more sense. Tim, on the other hand, he's just like talking in circles and talking without purpose, if that makes sense. And he just held on to a lot of animosity, it felt like. And not that it's not justified, because I think he checked out literally the first time that Alex called him out of his name
and called him a little ass bitch, which I was like,
well, and covered his mouth or whatever. I think he kind of was like, okay, I see her in a different light after that situation.
Yeah. And then she says that too. She's like, you told me you had doubts, even though you asked my dad for his hand in marriage. And I was like, yeah, this is like super confusing.
I kind of understand that situation, because if you go back and watch, and I didn't, but I remember this, but Tim was doing so much for her family, like cooking, cleaning, like grilling for them, making sure everything was good, read the letter. And then I think Alex kind of just checked out, whereas he had to like take care of everything afterwards. And I think at that moment he was like, this is not a partnership. I'm your bitch boy.
Yeah, but I just feel like he always had doubts and he shouldn't have done all of that. You know what I'm saying?
He had doubts, but I think they got even deeper after the aftermath of the family situation. Because you know how that can happen.
Like, yeah, for sure.
I don't know. But that's just my take on it. But who knows? They just were not meant to be together. I know. Not compatible.
I think the reason why I'm like leaning towards Alex, and I can't figure out if it's, again, it comes down to the fact that like she is just able to articulate what happened better and she's able to like justify her actions. And then you're like, okay, like that makes sense. Like I get why you needed to take that nap. And I get why you put your hand over his mouth, because he was being so loud and you just want to protect him. And like having been in her shoes, you're like, I know exactly what that feels like, where you don't want producers to step in and like bring the cameras out. You want to like protect your relationship.
Yes.
So I was like, I totally get it. Mm-hmm. And also the fact that Tim is like, look, like, listen to me right now. Like, my voice carries. Like, I'm not a quiet person. It's like, that's not a justification for the way your tone, the level of your voice makes someone feel. If it seems like you're yelling, someone's going to perceive that as you being aggressive and yelling, regardless of like if that's your intent or not. Like that's not an excuse to be like, my voice carries.
No, I he wasn't able to like kind of put meaning behind any of his actions, and that's why it was really hard to be on his side throughout this entire thing. And like, honestly, I was on Tim's side a little bit more. I was leaning more on his end of it, because I was like, oh, like, is Alex just not considerate towards her fiance, yada yada yada. But after this reunion, I'm definitely on Alex's side. I feel like I understand where her head was at.
Yeah.
It was really funny how Brittany was like doing the side comments to Alex. Was like, he's talking in circles again. And like just saying things. I was like, oh, Brittany. Brittany's.
I was like, oh, she knows. I was like, she knows what's going on.
Yeah, and she was like sticking up for Alex. I was like, oh, they're close.
Yeah, yeah, no. The thing is, even though the girls seem close, you could tell there's kind of like divides in their group. Like Taylor doesn't seem close to any of the girls.
Yeah.
And then Monica and Alex seem close. It seems like when they talked about how they hang out, it was like really just them and another group of like pod squad girls.
Yeah.
And then obviously Marissa, Hannah, and Katie, but it seems like their relationship is kind of broken.
You know, it's so interesting because you hear from your friends what happens in situations when filming. Yeah. And then it's another story to see it, and an edited version, I will say, to see it all happen. And it's hard because you kind of change your feelings about people, especially also how they act on social media afterwards. It's like there's so many layers to a friendship, especially in this technology ridden state.
A reality TV show friendship too.
Yes. It's like there's so many layers to it. And so it's hard to act right. And it's like you have to be careful of how you are on screen when there's millions of people watching. I don't know. So I kind of see it.
My opinion also changed for Leo during this reunion.
I know. Who would think that he would be my favorite person to see? It was like a breath of fresh air seeing him.
Yes. He had one of the best apologies in Love is Blind reunion history. Like, I liked him so much after the reunion, along with Brittany. Like, I love that they are friends.
I know. And they talk on the phone for hours.
I know. And at least an hour. And I was like, wow, you guys are like legitimately friends.
Yeah, and talking about their dating life and everything. I thought that was really cute. I'm happy they brought them back. You can tell the showrunners are really like listening to the audience and looking at social media to see what to incorporate into these reunions.
Are they though?
They kind of are.
I don't know.
I think the questions were asked, but the answers weren't harped on, if that makes sense.
I think that the right questions were asked, but it was edited out of this reunion.
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't figure out watching this. I know that someone from this season is on Perfect Match season 3. And I was like, is it Nick? Is it Ramses? Is it Hannah? Or is it Brittany? Those are who I think may be on Perfect Match season 3, along with AD, of course, and Ollie and Freddie from Love is Blind UK. And who knows, maybe someone from Love is Blind season 8. Like, I'm not sure. But when Brittany was being coy about her relationship, like AD, I was like, is it Brittany that just came back from Perfect Match season 3 filming and like, you know, got into a relationship from that? Like, you know, I wasn't sure because like, why would she be coy about it, you know?
Yeah, but also Perfect Match success rate for relationships is not that high.
Yeah, but they just finished filming. So yeah. By the time that they're filming this reunion, they're like just a few weeks after Perfect Match. And that's kind of how long the relationships from Perfect Match go. They're just like a few weeks or a few months.
That's
so
true.
I don't know.
It could be both Hannah and Brittany.
True. I think it's one or the other, but like,
I don't know.
No one's talking about it in our Love is Blind world, so I'm not sure. But yeah, nothing to say about them except that Leo changed my perception. I really like that Leo took accountability, whether it was genuine or not, or he's just kind of like following, you know, based on the backlash on the internet. But he did it right. He did what every villain needs to do.
And honestly, like, I think he was being very sincere, because there's a lot of villains who go on there and apologize and it's not sincere and you can tell.
Yeah,
like, he seemed very sincere about it, and yeah, he was just a breath of fresh air. Loved it. Yeah. Loved to see him.
Well, let's talk about one of the internet's most controversial villain of the season, Tyler. And of course, Ashley.
I knew that they were going to be the way they were on this reunion. Yeah. They were going to have each other's backs. And watching it, I actually liked their responses, because it was very PR response. Because we knew they weren't going to get into the whole situation with the kids. No. And honestly, after having this conversation, I literally just want to be like, if Ashley knows and she's happy and she supports her man, I just want to be done with them.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm over it now. Yeah. Because am I surprised that Ashley is sticking by Tyler and also covering for him? No. Mm-hmm. That's her choice to do that. I think what's really sad about this entire situation is the fact that Tyler is an absent dad to his 3 kids now. So it's just really, really sad. But I feel like not much could have been said there. Yeah. Like, he made his choice. And the real sadness comes for, like, these 3 kids.
Exactly. And I think we know that social media is a hard place to be, especially when there's, like, a controversy like this happening. And so, I don't know, I think we tend to dissect every little detail that we see on screen. But there is something to say about a little bit of privacy when it comes to Ashley and Tyler's situation, only because there's kids involved.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't know how I would act if I were in their shoes, but like, telling social media or like the audience about every little thing, I don't know, it doesn't make sense. And Ashley like was very eloquently speaking. Obviously, she's hiding a lot of things, but her just being like, you know, humanity can't like make sense of this situation because it's so unique. And it truly is a unique situation. But all I want to leave it at is, I hope Tyler's happy. I hope Ashley's happy. But more importantly, I hope his kids are happy.
There's really nothing to say. She's sticking by him. He said what he needed to say. And it's sad. I don't think we'll ever know like the full story. But I think what we do know is that like, he was involved in those kids' lives. Yeah. And he was not being truthful when he said on the show that, you know, the kids don't know what I look like. And they asked him about that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess it was like some cover up. And Ashley knew the truth behind the scenes, which I actually don't think she did know.
Yeah. Because why would she ask that question if she knew?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
She said she was like trying to cover and talk about it to be authentic. But I actually don't think she knew. And obviously now she's trying to cover for him. But
yeah,
it's just a sad situation.
Also, it was absolutely diabolical of Vanessa to ask them about their Christmas traditions, because clearly the pictures that are circulating of Tyler are from Christmas with his kids.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. It was just like another awkward moment of like, are we really just not going to address the elephant in the room and just continue on? Like everything is hunky dory and.
Yeah. Like address it once and then that's kind of it. Yeah, but like, again, like, what else can you do? He said what he needed to say. Like, yeah. What are they going to bring the baby mom on? Like, yeah, no. So they're going to protect the one of the two married couples from this season.
Yeah. And hopefully they stand on business back in the background. You know, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm sure we'll see more of this stuff on social media.
Yeah. Also, what was really cool, but also new to these reunion episodes is they introduced three participants of the next season, season 8, which is in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Also, I cannot believe it's already been 5 years since this show has aired. But February 14th, we are back with season 8, which is super exciting. But I think we talked about this right after, but I don't think any of those contestants that they announced are part of like the main cast.
No. I feel like they're probably part of like the broader cast, mm-hmm. like part of the 15 women, 15 men. But I don't think that they would show the main cast members, like the couples that were actually chosen to be seen on the show. So
yeah, because there's just too much tea and there's 3 months and you guys, pod besties and the rest of the internet is they are FBI sleuths.
Yeah.
And they will find out every little detail of everything happening.
I know. But I was like, wait, this is so fun. The fact that they, I don't think they've ever announced a date so early of the next season, nor participants ever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is so fun. And I can't believe it's coming back to the Midwest. Love is Blind. Minneapolis, Minnesota. Woo! Here we come.
I was hoping some of those contestants had some accents, but I didn't hear any.
I know, a little Minnesota.
Yeah, like accent. A little. It just makes me think about Fargo. I love Fargo, the TV show.
Oh, I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh my gosh, you need to watch it. You also don't like TV, but anyways, I'm really looking forward to it. But you can tell Love is Blind is becoming a legitimate huge franchise just because of, I don't know, the production quality, everything is like just improving a lot.
Even though this season was a little bit lackluster, and I really do think that the cast will be pretty forgettable after this, I do feel like you could tell the production quality is just getting better and better.
It's so good.
And the storylines are getting more unique and complicated.
Yeah, which makes sense because every city is so different. But
I'm excited. Yeah. Back to the Midwest we go. So we'll be recapping Love is Blind again in February, and I'm super, super excited.
Yes, Valentine's Day.
Yes. Well, let us know what you thought about this reunion episode. You could let us know on our Instagram page at Out of the Pods or comment on any of our TikToks, Instagram Reels, or YouTube videos.
And make sure you guys leave a review and subscribe.
See you next Monday.
And happy the Valley. Bye.